everybody, and a happy new year, and welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show, the monthly review show. A couple of weeks later than we planned. This is technically December's edition of the NPL show. So Merry Christmas. But we're back now, and joining us at a virtual Heat and Hops for December's edition of the Pitching In NPL show, it's a big welcome back to the show to Mr. Ian Burke from 26-0. Hello, Burke.
Hello, Ben. I've managed to banish me cold from last time, and raring to go.
Good stuff. Paul Connolly's here, everyone. Welcome back to Paul from Whitby Town Radio.
His internet's literally just gone.
I do not believe this. Paul Connolly's here, everyone, from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Paul.
Hi, I got back in the end after losing all internet just then. How are we doing, gents?
And James Hayes is here, everyone, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. We should say we're also going to be joined this week by Rob Hughes, media man at Gainsborough Trinity. We're going to have a little chat with how the season's going over in Lincolnshire. And, of course, a big game for Mask United this weekend in the FA Trophy. And we'll be joined by Curtis Woodhouse later in the show. And we're also going to be joined by the brand new manager at Ashton United, Steve Cunningham. Will be on the show later as well. But let's start up at the top end of the NPL Premier Division. And
Ben, why do you always do that? Why can't we start off in mid-table for a change?
Well, yeah. All right. Burke.
Yeah.
Let's change things up a bit. Let's go crazy. It's 2023. So mid-table, for a long time, Burke, the mid-table was only 2-3 points from the playoff line. It was actually a muchness, wasn't it, for the top half of the table. It is starting to stretch out a bit. However, in recent weeks, Guiseley have got themselves into the top half of the table. So what does that tell us about how things are progressing as we head into the second half of the season?
Well, it tells us that Paul Phillips is working his magic again, doesn't it? He's come into the club. They seem revitalised over the last few weeks, strung together some pretty decent performances, some good results as well. And the marching away up the table. Remember, it was only a few weeks back where they were looking very nervously over the shoulder. And now they're only 4 points off the playoffs, so they are looking up rather than back. And yeah, the mood seems to have improved over that neck of the woods.
And it's literally, Paul, it's been like five rounds of fixtures. They've gone from 22 points up to 34 points, which seems quite a meteoric rise. And has left, dare I say it, the likes of Whitby, Lancaster, Nantwich, who threatened that. It's kind of shown a path for teams like yourselves, what's possible in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, obviously watching Guiseley last night as we're recording, they're a very typical fellow team. Very strong. They're going to do the job. They're going to cause you a lot of problems. But again, you look at it, and last night, 3 points either way changes the complexion of sort of how you look at Guiseley at the moment. So obviously 3 points last night put them within 4 points of the playoffs. Had it gone the other way and Whitby had won, then Whitby would have been 2 points behind them and they were in danger of dropping below Whitby on Saturday. So it just goes to show that how big a 3 points it can be in this division, especially sort of in that mid-table mix when you've got those teams down the bottom and breathing down your neck.
I'm going to say, Ben, there's a colossal game as well a week on Saturday. Guiseley go to Matlock, Philo's old club, and yeah, I expect that one's going to be powder keg.
We did speak to Paul Phillips when he first took over. In fact, not when he first took over. It was like because of the winter break we had. It was after the Halifax match. And he said, you know, we could be looking over our shoulders, but I'd like to think that we could be looking up. And, well, here they are, looking up.
Yeah, I think I said it last week on the show as well, that at the moment it's pretty much no team with any substantial form, give or take three or four sides. Guiseley, in the last week or two, have become that sort of team there, 4 wins out of 5, and they've taken advantage of the situation that everyone seems to be dropping points everywhere at this moment in time.
I was going to say, it leads straight on from what Teagot was saying there about Guiseley motoring forward and now looking upwards. Ashton are exactly the same. Ashton United just brought Steve Cunningham in. That win that they had the other day on the travels, a 3-0, that's just shown what they could do. Made a couple of very good signings. And all of a sudden, they're now looking up, right up the table, after a pretty demoralising 6-0 defeat at home against Hyde United. So, yeah, it's strange how things can change just that quickly at a club. But there you go. That's the nature of the division this season.
Yeah, Guiseley, 1 point behind Matlock, 1 point behind Radcliffe, 1 point behind Marine, 1 point behind FC United, and 2 points behind Warrington Rylands. So it's been pretty good. If we take out the winter postponements, it's actually been a pretty good tenure thus far for Paul Phillips at Nevermore. Berkey, does that satisfy your thirst for mid-table starts of this show that we've had? Or would you like to go, would you like to dig a bit deeper into mid-table land?
Can we mention Stafford?
We can mention Stafford. What would you like to say about Stafford, other than the fact that, you know, they're in 12th? It's often been, hasn't it, with regards to Stafford, that they've been on the cusp, but not too far away. But it is starting to stretch now, and it's 5 points. So they need to get that consistency back that they had in the first part of the season.
The form has been dragged from out under them, and, you know, they lost against Belper the other week. But they've got Callum Saunders. He's not quite found his feet yet. He has scored, but I don't know. They need to resurrect that early season form and what they were doing towards the end of last season too. And the magic touch just seems to have deserted them at the moment. But again, the other teams around them, they're turning it around. There's no reason Stafford can't do the same. They are scoring goals. It's just they're conceding more.
And Paul, what do you think about this mid-table? Because Ashley United have got this possibility of a resurgence with Steve Cunningham coming in. Clubs like Whitby, Stalybridge Celtic as well in recent weeks. We'll cover them off shortly. Lancaster City. I've been threatening what Guiseley have done. I mean, is that possible, do you think, that we'll see more teams starting to overtake the likes of Stafford and go a bit further up?
Well, quite frankly, I'm going to say this now, I absolutely dream of mid-table. it's as simple as that. That's like dreamland for us. But at the end of the day, this is a division, and we all know this, that it's not impossible for teams to do what the likes of Guiseley have done and sort of drag themselves away from it. Like you say, Lancaster have threatened to, Stalybridge have. I mean, Nantwich did at one point as well with a couple of results. They are back in the bottom four now. But ourselves, we've done it as well. It's obviously finding consistency, and ultimately that's the reason why the likes of Whitby, Stalybridge, Nantwich are down at the bottom end of the division, is because they can't find the consistency to pull themselves out like Guiseley have. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, for instance, Whitby would beat Ashton on Saturday, and then it's a 3 point gap again, and then you can overturn it in a game or two, and you're into mid-table, and then all of a sudden it looks completely different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at this moment in time, it's a case of getting those results. I mean, Whitby have Ashton on Saturday, as I mentioned. Then we go to Warrington Town, and then we have what is essentially a six-pointer, to dig out the old cliche book, against Nantwich. So, you know, it's one of them. Knowing Whitby, we could probably get 6 points against Ashton and Warrington, then go and lose to Nantwich, which would be a very Whitby thing to do. But it's certainly not impossible for the likes of, you know, Lancaster, Whitby, Stalybridge, and any team down there, really. I mean, Mask are the ones that you would expect probably to get themselves in there with the number of games in hand they've got. But yeah, it's certainly not impossible for teams sort of in and around those areas to move into that sort of mid-table bracket. But it's certainly difficult given the inconsistency that those teams down there have.
Well, one team who's currently in mid-table land is Ashton United, and that seems like a good segue to go to our first guest on this week's MPL show. Obviously, Steve Cunningham replacing Michael Clegg at Hurst Cross last week. Good start to his tenure as well at the Tameside Club with a 3-0 victory over Warrington Rylands on Saturday. And let's catch up now with the brand new manager at Hurst Cross. It's a welcome back to the show to Steve Cunningham. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. And first things first, a big congratulations on your appointment at Hurst Cross. Good result to kick things off at the weekend. So really easy question to begin with. How are you settling into your new role?
Yeah, well, great to be back on, mate, and happy new year to you and all the guys on the show. Great start, as you just said. Dream come true, really, when you pick up 3 points on your first game back in charge at one of the favourites, especially for, say, the playoff sort of places. But settled in really well. Couldn't have asked for any more help from all the volunteers, the staff, the board of directors, and also the players. They've been brilliant in the three sessions that we've been together. So, yeah, dream start, but we can't get carried away. You know, the old scenario with myself, it's one game at a time, and we've only been there 7 days, but we've done a hell of a lot of work in 7 days. So, you know, more to continue, and hopefully we'll have a really good end to the season.
Yeah, well, I'll get to how you're shaping the squad and that side of things in a second or two. But, I mean, Hurst Cross, you know, Ashton United, it's a cracking setup. But, I mean, what was it about this particular vacancy where you went, right, this is me getting back involved now?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, I mean, the club itself, it's got a great heritage, great history, great people have been before me, both playing and manager. And it just got to the point where I turned down a number of opportunities that I was very thankful to even be considered for. But there's a time and a place where you go, you've got to be back in the game. Was it on my radar? No. I was open and honest about that to the chairman, the co-chairman, David and Jonathan. But when the phone call came to me on the late Monday night, I think it was, after the last game in charge for previous management team, it was hard to turn down the opportunity to speak to them. Once I spoke to them and they sort of laid out what the plans were, you're always excited when you've got excited chairman because obviously they want to take the club forward. You've seen what they've done both on and off the pitch in the last 3 years that they've been involved at the football club. And it just got to the point where they matched my ambitions of what I want to do. Yeah, there's a lot of work to still be done behind the scenes in terms of the pitch and the ground and things, but they're fully aware of that. And I was blown away just by their actual enthusiasm and love for the club. And I think when I look back at my time at Colne Football Club, I really enjoyed my time there. That was where I really felt like I was the real manager of the football club. I was able to do things my way. I had a very successful time there. It was a family club. And I just felt that Ashton, you know, United really matched that. And very similar to that, but just on a bigger scale and maybe with better resources. So, yeah, it was hard to turn it down and we're all on the same page and looking forward.
Yeah, and straight away, Jason Gilchrist signs, which I have to say is not a bad signing. You know, Jack McKay's signed as well, and Sean Newton's joined you as player assistant. And, you know, you've made some changes here or there, but what's your thoughts on the actual makeup of the squad now, a week or so in?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, coming off the back of the two results they had over the Christmas period, there was a lot, obviously, confidence is very low. As naturally in any team, there's players there that are there from the previous manager. And to be fair, I mean, Michael, everyone knows me and Cleggy are really good friends outside of football and in football. And he's got and assembled a really good group of lads. But sometimes you just need to freshen it up and things haven't been working well for some of the players. So we've inherited a very good group of players. They just needed a bit of a, not a kick up the backside, but just maybe, wow, this is what it looks like when there's players pushing them out or a bit of competition for places. And also with my last two roles being at Buxton and Curzon, I've obviously established myself with a network of players now that I've been doing a lot of work on, and I wanted to work with them again, and I've brought them in to help us, one, change the culture of the football club to really push on and set some standards. Also, the quality of the player that I've brought in, I'd like to think he's going to only help the players that are currently there at the club get the best out of them. And it's a good blend. And just surround yourself with good people. I needed to bring in an influx because you need players who know you and who back you and trust your methods. And I needed players to come in and make an impact. And, you know, you saw that on the debuts, Nathan Lowe, Jason Gilchrist, both scoring. It couldn't have gone any better. But just in training, there's been a real buzz. And to be fair, the lads who have been at the club previously to me coming in have all accepted the lads coming in. And yeah, it's been a really, really good 7 days.
And we'll get to this weekend's matches in a second or two. But it's early days in your tenure at Hurst Cross. So you can bat this question away as you like, Steve. I'll let you. But what's your expectations about what's possible at Ashton United this season? Because you know, we've seen with Geisel over recent matches, you know, it doesn't take a lot. If you just get a run of results going, you're suddenly going up the table. That's very much the case with the playoff spots and maybe even slightly higher. So, I mean, what's your sense on what's possible now?
Yeah, to catch South Shields.
There you go.
you know me, mate. I told the chairman that and he said it'd be a miracle. So, look, the reality is the league is... It's a crazy league this year. It's very much up and down. There's a lot of teams all capable of achieving some really, you know, great results. And also, I think there'll be a lot of teams there this year that feel, actually, you know what, we can make the playoffs this year for the first time in maybe a long time in their sort of history. So us coming in, I've got to put it out there that the chairman said to me, just come in and really just start again now and let's create a football club, one where there's a real buzz and we can take it forward into next year. And that's great because there's no pressure from us. But I'm a winner. And I've always said it, even when I spoke to you before, if you aim for the stars, you'll hit it. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit that. So we've got to keep an eye on, obviously, our games and our results, and we'll take care of it game by game by game. But I've given the lads a target and said, look, let's try and turn this season around and aim for something. And we're not too far away, but the reality is we have played more games than everybody else. I think once everybody catches up, the league table will start to balance out, and then we've still got an uphill challenge. But that challenge is there to be done. And if you don't want to challenge yourself in football, you're at the wrong football club if you play for me. So, yeah, we've sort of identified the playoffs is a great opportunity to aim for. Why not? It'll be very, very difficult and tough. But if we could get there based on what's happened so far, then what a great start to our tenure as the new managers of Ashton United. So, yeah, very much long-winded answer. I'm going to try and catch South Shields.
And that was obviously the next step is Whitby Town away. We're recording this interview on Friday. I believe it's not been the best of weather over in the northeast or anywhere really in the north for that matter over the past week or so. So fingers crossed this game's going to be on. But what's your thoughts on this challenge this weekend?
Yeah, well, like you said, if it's on, what a tough challenge that is to travel away. I went there last year towards the back end of the season with Buxton, and it was one hell of a tough game. I know the manager, Nathan. What a great guy. They're having a bit of a tough time in terms of results, but you know, you can't take it for granted that you're going to turn up there and win. And the pitch and the conditions, as you know, it's a real leveller. So if it's on, we'll just prepare. And like I said, look, we're not going to get carried away. It was a fantastic start last week against Rylands. You know, we've attracted some really good players to the football club in the last 7 days. But then you start to see how good they really are by going and rolling your sleeves up at a place like Whitby, where they need to get a result and bounce back for midweek. The conditions are a leveller. You know, we're away from home. It's a tough game. And that's how we'll approach it. Roll our sleeves up and see what we can come away with, should it be on.
And last question, Steve. I think it does come across loud and clear, but just it's a nice way to finish the interview. Enjoying it? Enjoying being back?
I love it. Honestly, Ben, the support I've had from not only the people involved at Ashton United, but just the wider network of the football community. You know I'm quite loud and brash at times, but I'd like to think, you know, we've made some really good noises in the 7 years I've been involved in the leagues, and that the players, the supporters and board members, even from the previous clubs, it's just been overwhelming. And it makes you realise how lucky you are when you get involved in a football club. Only so many people could be the manager of a club, and at this level of football, you know, very honoured to be where I am at the moment. So, yeah, it feels good to be back. My family aren't feeling that, because literally for the last 7 days, I've been away. I've been at the club 7 days and seven nights, it feels like. But, yeah, great time to be back, mate.
Great stuff. Well, Steve Cunningham, manager of Ashton United, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your Friday to join us on this week's show. And all the best this weekend.
Thanks, mate. Wish you all the best.
Steve Cunningham there, manager of Ashton United. We mentioned, you know, Paul Phillips' pedigree of getting teams into the playoffs. You know, Steve Cunningham now has pedigree of getting clubs out of this league through the top door. So that's quite an appointment from Ashton United there.
Yeah, it's a statement of intent, but at the same time, got to take your hat off to Cleggy as well, the work he's done there over the past 3 years or so. And when Ashton made the appointment, they announced on Twitter, Cleggy was one of the first people to offer an electronic arm out and say, you know, congratulations, Cunny, hope you go and smash it. And fair play to Cleggy, top bloke. I don't know anyone who's got a bad word to say against him. I don't know anyone who's got a bad word to say against Cunny either, to be fair. And it's going to be interesting.
Well, Berkey, just before we move up the table, am I okay to move up the table now into the playoff spots? Or
hey, Ben, you're the host.
Oh, I'm the host now. Good. All right, good stuff. I mean, it's, as we've teed up on this week's show, in the opening bit of the show, there's plenty of jostling going on in mid-table land and in the lower half of the table as well, to, as guys have proved, to get into mid-table land and then start to push on to the playoffs. There's only four playoff spots. I hate to break it to everyone. It's going to be a bit tricky, Paul, isn't it, to fit everyone in? I know this is, we're recording this in the middle of January. There's 3.5 months left of the season or so, but it's looking like it could be quite close, this.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I mean, I'm not going to make any draft predictions like I did this time last year and say, Whitby, you're going to get in there.
Oh, you weren't far off.
You weren't far off, yeah.
Well, no, but I was still wrong, wasn't I? And Scarborough got there, which I also predicted. So, you know, I was half right. Unfortunately, it was the wrong half. But it's so difficult to tell at this time of the season. You look at the teams that are in there and you sort of, we'll talk about South Shields later, I'm sure. I mean, I expect them to win it now, having seen them. But yeah, sort of in there, you've got your Hydes, your Gainsboroughs, who, to be fair to Gainsborough, I never expected. But my mate Bish doing a great job up there. So fair play to him. Warrington Town in there, strong team, always consistently there. Bamber Bridge sort of kicking around. But I mean, FC United and Manchester as well, they're around there with Rylands. I mean, FC on Saturday, when I watched them, for me, and Nathan Haslam said the same as well, the best footballing side in the league. What worries me about FC is they can't defend. That's going to be their downfall if they're going to miss out on the playoffs this year.
I'd say, Paul, they couldn't score at the weekend, and that follows on from the Ratcliffe performance. Well, interesting that you and James are on this call.
Aren't FC United and Rylands in a similar boat there, though? They both score hatfuls, but they both concede plenty as well. They're entertaining.
I mean, to be fair, we say FC concede plenty. They've conceded 26 goals this season. Rylands have conceded 36. I mean, if we're talking about teams that concede a hatful, Bamber Bridge 43, although they did concede 10 in two games. So, yeah, I just thought they may be getting away with it a little bit, FC, because defensively on Saturday, I didn't think they were brilliant. But obviously, FC scoring a lot of goals is going to help them out. So they get in the playoffs? I kind of hope so, because they are a good footballing team, but I'm not sure. I just look at the likes of Hyde, who are a decent side that I've seen this year. Warrington Town, a decent side I've seen. Obviously, Warrington have the pedigree. Gainsborough, I mean, they were decent, but the battered us 6-0, so they're always going to look decent. it is what it is. I mean, for me, at this moment in time, I'm looking at that sort of top five, and I'm seeing four teams that I personally think will definitely be in there. Mm. And for me, I think it's up for that last place.
Let's touch upon a team just outside the playoff spots at the minute, Ratcliffe. 3 points behind the likes of Bamber Bridge and Warrington Town, who both are in the playoffs at the moment at the time of recording. That's not a million miles away, is it? And, you know, that was a good win over FC United on January the 2nd. Unfortunately, you haven't played since. So we don't know what reaction you're going to have from that victory. But it's a good spot Ratcliffe are in, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we've only played twice in a month at this moment in time. Draw at Matlock Town on the 3rd of December. Ratcliffe, as mentioned in Sibirki last night, they can go and absolutely dominate teams over 15, 20 minutes, just next five, just absolutely throw it away and we're chasing the game. I think that's something for the second half of the season Ratcliffe really need to be pushing on for a little bit. And the fact they've just brought in Colin Hendry as well as an assistant coach. So the intent there too is just going forward and getting that consistency now. They can go on a run of 4 or 5 games. They're going to be in that top four, top five again.
Just a small run away from being in the playoffs, not just being in the playoffs, but almost cementing one. If you say you win 5 games on the spin or 4 out of 5, you're going to be inside the top five and you get that momentum, don't you? And you're capable of it. Any of the teams from, I'd say, Ashton upwards are capable of stringing a good run of results together like that to put pressure on the likes of Warrington and Bamber Bridge and Hyde and Gainsborough Trinity. I think this is shaping up to be a really, really interesting second half to the season, you know.
And, Paul, just a mention for Matlock Town. Obviously, Martin Carruthers coming in there. You know, a great start, a 4-0 victory over Belper Town on Boxing Day. Gainsborough Trinity, and it was a tricky afternoon at Gainsborough. A 2-2 draw against Morpeth. They're showing the form that most teams are showing in this league at the minute. But, again, it's like Ratcliffe. They're not a million miles away.
No, they certainly aren't. You know, they've got a decent side there, Matlock, and they sort of had from the start of the season when Paul Fuchs was in charge, of course. So I didn't know what to expect when they changed managers twice in the season. I didn't know if it was going to unsettle them a little bit too much. But like you said, they are sort of showing the kind of form that everyone is at the moment, very hit and miss. So, yeah, it's difficult to tell what's going to happen with Matlock.
Berkey, just I mentioned for Marine as well, because they've had that winter break. During it, they've had to play mask away from home and were knocked out of their FA Trophy. Then they've come back to competitive action in the league with Warrington Town away, Warrington Rylands at home and South Shields away. So tricky for Marine over the last couple of weeks or so. So I don't think we can read too much into them dropping out the playoffs at this point.
It's tough, but they've got those games out of the way, aren't they, now? So they don't have to worry about facing them for a little while yet. But they've got a colossal defence, or generally speaking, anyway. They've only conceded 19 goals through the season, Ben. Still very much in contention. Only 3 points behind Bamber Bridge with a game in hand, so they could sneak into the playoffs
hey,
for the
Birke,
weekend.
Who've Marine got this weekend?
Is it Bamber Bridge?
It's Bamber Bridge at home. Boom,
exactly.
Bang. Yes.
Hey. So, yeah, they win that. They're in the play. Well, they may be in the playoffs because obviously it depends how results with Rylands and FC United go. But, yeah, the goal difference is very much in their favour. So, yeah, the well-positioned at the moment, as with Radcliffe, as with Matt Locke, FC, all the teams around them, all they need to do. I say all they need to do. It's easier said than done, it. If they can string another set of results together, they're going to be right back in contention. And, well, I say right back in contention, but they are in contention. It's getting really sort of tight again in that middle of the table. The teams at the top kind of pulling away a little bit, but those last two playoff spots, or at least at the moment anyway, it's anyone's, absolutely anyone's.
Yeah, Marine's month. I think, I can't remember if I spoke to Neil about this. Or it might have been another manager who's also got an horrendous run of fixtures coming up. But Bamber Bridge at home, Gainsborough Trinity away, Stafford Rangers at home, Ashton United at home, and then Radcliffe away, the first game in Feb. So if they win all them, then they're probably going to be knocking on the door of Hyde United, I'd imagine. So I mean, that's quite a run of fixtures there for Marine. Let's discuss the teams in the playoffs now. One team who've been in the playoffs, I think, throughout this entirety of the season thus far has been Gainsborough Trinity. And we've obviously caught up with the manager, Neil Bishop, a couple of times on the show. But we've not had Rob Hughes on for a while on the MPL show. And I did promise him a while ago that I would get Rob back on the show. So for a little catch up now with how things are going at Gainsborough and his views on the playoff race more generally and the promotion push, let's hear now from the media man at North Home. It's a welcome back to the show to Rob Hughes. Well, Rob, a big happy new year to you and welcome back to the show. And just a bit of a general catch-up, really. We caught up with Neil Bishop last week, but this season compared to last season has been phenomenal for Gainsborough. I mean, from a media point of view, how's things going at North Home?
Just by myself having to pinch myself every week, to be honest. Things just seem to have clicked on the field. Results speak for themselves and still feel like we're punching a little bit above our weight, but anything could happen.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've seen with Gainsborough is the number of goals scored. I mean, the league's top goal scorers at the moment, 47 goals scored. And it does feel it's anchored by the likes of Donaldson, but there's some energy in that team as well when it comes to counter-attacking and Donaldson just seems to be the perfect
foil for
the it. Perfect foil for it, yes.
Exactly. Last season, we were crying out for some experience up top in good areas. Clayton Donaldson's coming in the summer and fitted that bill. He's a model professional. All the players look up to him. He's scoring goals himself, but if he doesn't score goals, he's occupying defenders, bringing other players in, and he's just his all-round play, second to none.
And when it comes to where Gainsborough are at the minute, obviously it's the second half of the season now, and Gainsborough 6 points inside the playoffs. There's the playoff race, which we could talk about, but, you know, it's 5 points from top spot as well. So there's a title race here as well. I mean, where do you see the ambition at the moment at Gainsborough? Because Neil, quite rightly, is keeping a lid on it, which I think is the correct thing to do, considering we're only partway through January. But it certainly must be exciting, I'm going to suggest, where Gainsborough find themselves.
It's very exciting. You know, I can't remember a time, I've been involved with Gainsborough nearly 8 years now, when we've been at this end of the table consistently. But we've just got to look at it one game at a time. I know it's an old adage, but you look at it one game at a time. You can only beat the team in front of you on any given day. If we can keep on going about our business, doing things properly, off the field, putting in the preparation, going into matches and matching teams for work rate, effort, application, we can win games. We had a poor hour against Stafford Rangers, but 4 goals in 18 minutes and won the game. And that's got to give belief to everybody, whether that's supporters, players, even the manager. You know, I don't think even a diehard fan would say, yeah, we saw that one coming.
And it's results like that which, you know, a bit of a springboard into the next game. And obviously it's more puff away for Gainsborough. And we all know how good Gainsborough's away form has been. But Just generally with regards to the playoffs, I mean, you've seen everyone pretty much this season, or most of the team certainly this season, and it's quite a race for the playoffs at the moment. Hyde United sitting in second, 1 point above Gainsborough. Gainsborough do have two games in hand. Gainsborough also have a game in hand over Warrington Town, who are currently sitting fourth. 4 points beneath Gainsborough Trinity. Also 4 points beneath Gainsborough Trinity, having played a game more, is Bamber Bridge. Then we've got Warrington Rylands just outside the playoffs, 6 points behind Gainsborough Trinity, but 2 points outside the playoffs. FC are just 3 points outside the playoffs. As a Marine, as a Radcliffe, as a Matlock. Now, as we've discussed on the show this week, we've also got Guiseley getting involved in the mix. This is turning into an epic season. Having seen most of the teams this year, are you surprised that it's this wide open?
No, because there is very much of a muchness in the league. I've made a few notes, and I've even gone down as far as Ashton having appointed Steve Cunningham. You know, last season he took Buxton up. So, like I said, anything could happen. They could go on a mammoth run in the second half of the season and pick up the points. They're not a million miles away. Surprise a few teams in the second half of the season and see them right up amongst it. Bamber Bridge could take the step forward from last season. Obviously, last season, the last 5-6 games, they fell away a little bit. Jamie Milligan's got the experience now of that and might know that extra little bit to get them into the mix come the end of the season.
I mean, anyone you ask, they you get a varying degree of predictions and a variety of answers. And I suppose that goes to show you, like we said, the quality of this league. And that quality, if we could bring it back to Gainsborough, the cliche is there's no easy games in this league and all that. I mean, it's true. Morpeth away this Saturday, tough game. Then Neil Bishop has to look the other way up the table because then he's got Marine at home the following Saturday. And then Stalybridge Celtic the Saturday after that. And Stalybridge are in good form at the moment. I mean, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Tough games like this week in, week out. And I suppose it's an old adage, but the consistency side of it, that's going to be key.
Exactly. I looked at the last 10 games and, you know, over the last 10 games, South Shields and the Holy Blues up there at number one and number two from the last 10 games played in the league. It shows that sort of consistency that you need to be competing at the top end. If Gainsborough can sort out home form, there's no reason why they can't challenge for that top spot and put that pressure on.
And with regards to that race for the title, at the minute it's looking like it's between yourselves, Hyde and South Shields. Long way to go though. We've spoken on this show this week about Guiseley's resurgence. You've mentioned Ashton United. There's always a run, isn't there, somewhere, so who knows, but at the minute those are the top three. Tuesday the 14th of February, South Shields will be visiting North Holme. That's a big
happy Valentine's.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. That's a big game, isn't it? I mean, just to touch upon the coverage at Gainsborough, just plug the media coverage that's going to be coming up for these games, these crucial games in the league.
Well, we've got full match commentary as always, home and away, with myself. I'm trying to get a few of the players involved that aren't involved. We've got such a small squad, though, it's very difficult to get a player that's not involved in the 16. But I had Jack Dyche involved with me at the weekend for the Stafford game. He was also manning the Twitter feed, which is always good. But no, we hope to bring full match commentary, the highlights package afterwards with a couple of different camera angles. I've got some really good volunteers at the moment supporting me, really trying to get behind the club and promote it as positively as possible.
Great stuff. And I'm assuming you're going to be at Morpeth, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Just one last plug for the radio coverage. How could people tune in if they can't make the game in person?
Follow Gainsborough Trinity on Mixlr, commentary from 5 to 3, full match commentary with my slightly rose-tinted glasses. See what happens.
Well, Rob Hughes, media man at Gainsborough Trinity, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this month's show. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Keep up the excellent work and catch up very soon. Rob Hughes there, media man at Gainsborough Trinity, joining us on this week's NPL show. And Paul, you've already touched upon, you know, the race for the playoffs. There is a bit of a gap opening up between Hyde United, Gainsborough Trinity and outside the playoffs. I mean, it's 6 points and Gainsborough Trinity have got two games in hand over the likes of Warrington Rylands. They've got games in hand over FC and Bamber Bridge and Warrington Town. That's looking like if they can string the results together, the likes of Gainsborough and Hyde in the coming weeks, that they could really cement themselves in those playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I did see Gainsborough earlier in the season, and when they got the chances, they were clinical. Having, you know, experience with the likes of Clayton Donaldson in there, alongside, you know, young players that are hungry to be successful and develop themselves. I think they've got a really good mix there. And with somebody like Neil Bishop at the helm, who, you know, I know Bish. Bish knows football inside out. He's obviously played at the best levels. He played for a top team in Whitby Town as well. So he obviously knows his stuff. But, you know, he's a good lad, is Bish. He's a good manager and he's proving to be so. I mean, obviously, it is a joint effort at Gainsborough, but I wanted to give credit to Bish because, you know, since he's gone in there, I think his experience as well, and if he needs to sort of chip in as a player like he did last season, his experience has been valuable for developing a number of young players at Gainsborough. And credit to him and his management team. And obviously, the fruits of that are bearing at this moment in time. And I think they'll continue to. Like you said, those couple of games in hand on the likes of sort of Warrington Rylands are going to be massively beneficial. Obviously, you have to win them. You can't take those games in hand for granted. But for me, I think they're probably my favourites to secure a playoff place at this moment in time.
Absolutely.
And Berkey, just to touch upon the job that Nick Spoon has done at Ewan Fields, you know, Hyde United in second. I'm going back to the preview show we did in early August. I don't remember you suggesting this would happen.
No, I didn't think it would. Yes. I was hoping for a top half finish. I'd be very, very happy with that. But the Tigers, they've exceeded all expectations. We're playing really good football as well. Not always pretty on the eye, but generally speaking, we're mixing it up. We're looking like a team who can do it. And all the results of late haven't necessarily shown that. We've only won twice in the last eight games. A lot of draws in there, a couple of unlucky defeats. But we're a different proposition to what we were a year ago. We're a different proposition even from the start of the season. We've seen teams alter the way they play against Hyde. At the start of the campaign, it was teams coming to Ewan Fields very much on the front foot, but they were soon finding out that Hyde were coming along and counter-attacking them. But I don't think it's that they've been sussed out as such. It's that teams are adjusting slightly to what they expect from Hyde. They know that Hyde are a very difficult team to beat now. And if you go to Ewan Fields and go all out attack against them, the chances are you're going to come a cropper. So teams have had to go in the shell a little bit more. Hyde have got so much pace up top that if you play an expansive game against them, the chances are you are going to get hit on the break. And Hyde go in and, well, hopefully score. That's been our issue, actually. During the campaign, we're just struggling to convert chances. But we're creating chances, and I'd much rather we're creating chances and missing them than wondering where the next shot's going to come from, which is what it had been like for much of last season, really, Ben. And we're playing really, really well. Still swashbuckling the way through, and we need to up our game a bit. We need to score some more goals, but fingers crossed we're in the playoffs for the duration.
And we've obviously got the Warrington Derby this week as well, just to segue to that. Rylands just outside the playoffs, Warrington Town, 2 points ahead of them. This is a mammoth game, isn't it, in Cheshire, James?
It is indeed. I mean, not just being a derby itself, but in terms of how the league's going at this moment in time. In Warrington Town, again, they've been draw specialists in the last couple of weeks as well. So, with Rylands, they've got a point to prove now. Obviously, the result from the Ashton United game, Jordy Banham's done well to go in and change the team into his own mentality. They're back in the playoff contention. So, it's down to them now to really push forward and, prove a point now, I think. And, again, whoever wins this, not just for bragging rights, it's a big step forward towards the playoffs, I think.
Berkey, just to mention for South Shields, because everyone I've spoken to on this show since October is pretty much all saying the same thing. They expect South Shields to go on and win it. Saying that one thing and doing that one thing is a different kettle of fish altogether. All credit to Kevin Phillips and, you know, and South Shields for what they've achieved in recent weeks. 4 points the gap. They've got games in hand. But the thing is that, sorry to bring this up, Paul, they beat Whitby 4-2 on Boxing Day, and then 7 days later or so, they're beating Morpeth by a goal to nil. And that signifies to me that they're adapting to football matches this season a lot better and are doing anything they can to get the points.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Ben. It's going to be a very tough month coming up for them, mind you. Four of the five games are away from home, and home game, always a classic against FC United.
I don't want to
travel. No, it is, though, isn't it? It's always a great game between them two.
I'm out of practice on coach travel.
The one Actually, I'd say a couple of areas of concern for South Shields. The first one is making sure that complacency doesn't set in. You see it sometimes when the team starts to edge away. At the moment, the gap's 4 points and they've got a few games in hand. So you would expect them to go on and win the title. Will it be by 10 points? I don't know. But I mean, we'll see. But there's also, they've only kept one clean sheet in the last six games. They've still only conceded 19 for the season, which is outstanding, of course. But they conceded three against Warrington Town and three as well against Ashton United. So little leaks are appearing. And it's whether Kevin Phillips can plug them well enough. Because if this becomes a habit, then they're going to start dropping points that they shouldn't really be dropping. And they might just get reeled in a little bit. I still expect them to win the league. But it's just a slight word of caution. Just something to keep an eye out for, I think.
And Paul, that's the top end of the table. We've done this in such a weird order. I blame Burke.
It is my fault.
It is your fault. It really is. Now
you shouldn't have listened to me. Though.
No, but I always do.
If in doubt, blame Burke.
Yeah, well, he's a respected broadcaster, isn't he? So I've got to listen to him.
Don't know about that.
The gap between Atherton Coles and Nantwich Town, 14th to 19th, and that final relegation spot is 5 points currently. That was a lot closer, though, a month or so ago, or a couple of weeks ago, certainly. That's starting to stretch out a bit. Teams like Nantwich, Mask, Morpeth and Whitby, they don't want to get left behind here, do they?
No, certainly not. Atherton, at this moment in time, they obviously have that gap, but they can't get complacent. They've got to keep picking up results because, at the end of the day, the league that we're in, there's teams below them that are going to pick up points. So Whitby have the tendency to go and pick up points at daft places. You know, we'll beat the likes of Warrington Town or whatever and then maybe struggle against teams more so around us, less so recently. But, you know, earlier in the season, that probably was the case. But yeah, it's a do or die for every team around there at this moment in time, right through until the end of April, to obviously make sure that they aren't getting left behind. And I'm sure we'll talk about the Stalybridge situation at some point in the next sort of 10, 15 minutes. But yeah, right now it's getting tightened up from sort of 14th down to sort of 20th where Mask United are. But in terms of how this plays out at this moment in time, obviously Mask have a number of games in hand and
number,
I sort of jested earlier
number,
on about
Paul, a number.
Well, six is a number, to be fair.
Six is a number.
To be fair, yes.
You know what, Birkin? You're right. I'm sorry, Paul. You are correct. It is a number.
Exactly. You know, let's not get into the technicalities. but yeah, you know, they've got a good few games in hand, shall we say, then. But, yeah, there's been several games postponed for them and they're building up one hell of a backlog. Again, like you say, with the trophy and with games that are postponed, come the end of the season, they're going to have a lot of games to play potentially. They're already Saturday, Tuesday now, up until pretty much the end of February, I think it is. From sort of now on to the end of February, it's going to be hard going.
And the key is as well, because it's not just getting the games in, it's injuries, isn't it? And fatigue and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just... And you've got to hope the weather stays as is. I mean, February is still winter, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. We're only half an hour, if that, down the coast from Mask, and we know all too well what the weather can do this sort of time of year on the coast in the north. So yeah, again, these games that they've got to factor in, and then if they progress against Farsley, they've got another game to get in the FA Trophy. So. You know, this fixture backlog, although it looks great that you've got six, seven games in hand on some teams, you know, potentially it can be more detrimental than having the points on the board.
And obviously, no league game for Mask United this weekend. That's because the brilliant FA Trophy run that Mask United are on continues. The fourth round of the FA Trophy this weekend as Mask travel to our old friends Farsley Celtic. And let's catch up now with the manager at Mount Pleasant, and it's a welcome back to the show to Curtis Woodhouse. Well, Curtis, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. Before we get to talking about the fourth round of the FA Trophy this weekend, just a big congratulations for that brilliant win in the third round back in December. Fantastic victory over Marine. How was your afternoon in that one? Well, evening, wasn't it, really? How was your evening?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great result for us. I don't know if you mentioned before, but... the players we actually have available for the FA Trophy is very minimal. I think we've got 13 players available. The others that we've brought in and that are all cup tied. So we're literally threadbare for the FA Trophy, which, you know, creates a little bit of a siege mentality. So yeah, it was a great result for us. I mean, Marina flying high in the league, we're in the relegation zone, so I don't know what the odds were for the game, but they'd have definitely been favourites. So to come away with a 2-1 victory was brilliant.
And obviously that game was a bit of an island, really, for everyone in the Northern Premier League. There was only the Halifax Guysley match as well at the same time that featured anywhere in the month of December. It was a bit of a desert, really. But that kind of lack of competitive action for Northern Premier League sides has continued for yourselves with numerous postponements. So how's things shaping up at Mount Pleasant? Because you're lacking competitive action, really, aren't you? Which must be annoying.
Yeah, it's been really frustrating. I think 7 out of our last 8 have been called off. So our last game was actually Marine, and we've had a nightmare with the weather. It's just rained constantly, and our pitch hasn't been able to hold the rain. So yeah, it's been game after game after game that's been called off. So really frustrating, really good period for us. But everyone at the club is doing absolutely everything. The volunteers are working round the clock. But unfortunately, we just keep getting beat by Mother Nature at the moment. But yeah, frustrating, but there's nothing anyone can do. Everyone's trying their best.
So with that regard, I mean, because obviously the last time we spoke, you'd just taken over at the club as well. And you know, there's been a win in the league plus, you know, that brilliant win over Marine. So I suppose for yourself, it's a case of you just itching to get going, really.
Yeah, we've struggled to get any sort of rhythm, really, because so many games have been called off. I'm happy with the squad we've assembled behind the scenes. But yeah, we just want to put that into practice now and start getting some points on the table. You know, we are, I think, third from bottom in the league. And I think we've got 6 games in hand over the majority of other teams in the league. So it's a bit of a false position. But you'd much rather have points on the table rather than saying, if we win all our games in hand, I think we go fourth. So the league's so tight and we're just keen to get playing and get some points on the board. And like I said, the job when I first came here was to make sure that we stayed in the league. So that obviously remains our priority. But to do that, we've got to start getting some games played.
Yeah, well, while you've not been playing, obviously the Landmark team who seem to have got the results together and have moved up the table is Guysley. And I suppose that's what you kind of want to mirror when you do get to play some football again in the league.
Yeah, 100%. I know Philo really well, who's gone in there. And as soon as they made that appointment at management, and I knew that they'd put a good run together. Obviously, I know Martin Foster as well as the first team coach down there, who I've had at numerous clubs with me as my assistant manager. So they've brought in a really good management team, and I'm sure they'll go up the leagues. And, you know, they'll have one eye on the playoffs, no doubt about it. They've got a good squad, good management team, and, yeah, I think they'll do really well. But, yeah, we just need to get some points on the board, because the longer it goes, the harder it becomes, because then you're having to start to play Saturday, Tuesday, and then they chuck a Thursday game as well to catch up. It becomes really demanding on the players. But it is what it is. Like I said, there's nothing we can really do. We're just having to roll with the punches.
And this leads me on to my next question then about the Farsley game, because it's a kind of a rock and a hard place, because you've not played, so you want to keep that momentum going for Marine, but a victory will add to that fixture pile up. But I suppose you want to win, don't you? Against Farsley this weekend.
Oh, I mean, yeah, 100%. A place in the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy is up for grabs. You know, once you're in the quarters, you know, you think we're only 2 games away from being in the final. So we absolutely want to win. Like I said, we go there threadbare a little bit because we've not got that many players available in the FA Trophy, which, like I said, creates that siege mentality a little bit. And yeah, Farsley are struggling down near the bottom as well. So it's not as if we're going to a team that's absolutely full of confidence and flying. So it's probably a game where when the draw was made, both teams probably thought, we've got a chance there. You know, it's probably the perfect draw for them. We're the lowest ranked team left in the league. So it's a draw that they'll have wanted, and then one that we look at and think, yeah, we can win that. It's going to be tough, no doubt about it, but we go there to win.
And the other advantage you've got with not playing, I suppose, is as well that they really won't have scouted you to an effective degree, that's for sure, whereas they have been playing. So you're basically a surprise package to them, I'm going to suggest, for this fourth round tie.
Yeah, hope so. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't, well, they wouldn't have been able to watch us play because we haven't played. So hopefully that goes in our favour.
And just to touch upon, you know, this weekend's match and you know, how tough this game potentially could be. I mean, like you say, I mean, there's the cup tied element to this, but what's your thoughts on how tough it's going to be with Farsley? I know I haven't been playing well, like you say, in the National League North, but they're still a National League North side.
Yeah, absolutely. And that National League North is relentless. You know, there's some really, really good football clubs in the National League North. So all they're down near the bottom. I don't think the results have justified the position they're in. I think they're in a bit of a false position. I think they're a good side. They've got some good players. And it's going to be really, really tough for us, absolutely. So, yeah, we're under no illusions whatsoever. But, you know, the game's got to be finished in 90 minutes. So we can hang on in there, ride our luck a little bit and look to maybe hit them on the counter-attack and things like that. We, you know, we've got good set-piece delivery. So we carry lots of threats ourselves. We defend well. Our back four defends well. So, you know, we go there with a chance, for sure.
And like you say, it's got to be decided on the day, which is great news. So no chance of a replay, which means, fingers crossed, if the weather stays well-behaved, that match with Liversidge on Tuesday night is also a mammoth game. But this is what you want. You want important games week after week, don't you? And you don't get bigger than this. You know, fourth round of the FA Trophy followed by this big game down towards the bottom end of the NPL on Tuesday night.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's probably too early to be saying it's a six-pointer, but, you know, we look at Liversidge at home as the same way they'll look at us and think it's a great opportunity for them to get 3 points. It's also a great opportunity for us as well. You know, and like I say, 3 points probably bumps us up 3 or 4 places in the league. And psychologically, just to be out of that bottom four will help everyone. So, yeah, we've got two really big games coming up. Hopefully Mother Nature lets us get them on.
Absolutely. And last question, Curtis. Just about this coming week, coming up, it's a big week. Fingers crossed you get these matches played. How much are you looking forward to this challenge of the potential of getting through to the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy and also the potential of maybe getting out of the relegation places come Tuesday evening? How much are you looking forward to this challenge?
Yeah, no, really excited. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm sure that's what the club brought me in for because we're in a bit of a fight and there's no better person than myself to be in a fight with. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. Well up for it, and so are the lads as well. So no excuses from our end. I fully expect this group of players that I've got to be well away from the relegation zone. And I fully expect us to go and give a really good account of ourselves on Saturday.
Great stuff. Well, Curtis Woodhouse, manager of Mass United, a big happy new year to you. A big good luck this weekend against Farsley, and a big thank you for joining us.
Cheers, Ben. You too, mate.
Curtis Woodhouse there, manager of Mask United. A big good luck to Mask this weekend in the fourth round of the FA Trophy. But just to touch upon the likes of Liversidge and Belper, I mean, Belper's result against Stafford, I think, was a little glimmer, wasn't it, there at the end of the tunnel, that there is an escape route. Lee Attenborough coming in at Belper, we've had him on the Step 4 show in the past. I think I said this last week. Very, very impressive when you speak to him. It's a job, though, he's got to do there at Belper. 8 points for Belper and Liversidge to safety. Liversidge do have a few games in hand over the likes of Nantwich and Morpeth Town and Belper Town. But it's a vital couple of weeks coming up, isn't it? And a few weeks coming up for these two.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's not quite season defining, this, I don't think, Ben. But it's one where you really need to put a marker down, especially at Liversidge. They're playing up against Mask, as we just mentioned. And when you've got a new manager in town, it didn't really work the first time they rolled the dice with Steve Kittrick after Grant Black left. But now you look around them, they've got Nantwich, who are also down there. That's on Saturday. And then games against teams up the top end. So the kind of free hits for them. If they get any points out of the Ashton United game or Bamber Bridge or Hyde United, they're going to be absolutely chuffed to pieces about that. What I'm boiling it down to is it's not now or never for either of those sides. They do need to make an impression, but it's not of the utmost urgency, I don't think. If they can put a string of results together in the spring, February into March, then, yeah, that's the time to do it. You want the momentum going into the last part of the season.
And James, just before we move to the fixture preview for this weekend, just to touch upon Stale with Celtic, because we're pre-recording this show on Wednesday evening. The club's made a statement basically saying they're cutting the budget back. Chris Wilcock has had a very good few weeks at Bower Fold. It felt like it was starting to click for them. I mean, they always had that capability, though, in the first part of the season. It was just scoring goals, wasn't it, that was the problem. That's going to be a challenge, but if anyone could do it, as proven this season thus far, Chris Wilcock can, but it is going to be a challenge.
It all depends on if he can keep hold of likes of Daniel Carrera, who have really kick-started their season the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the Hyde United win on Boxing Day. Hey. Big example of what
steady on. They've got.
Mate, I know, but let's be honest, mate, that was fantastic, right?
You can't it was. It, even you.
Yeah. It was there a great goal that won it. No keeper in the world was going to stop that. It was a brilliant shot.
Just to cover off the fixtures for this weekend, mentioned it already about the weather. I mean, it's chucking it down. So please do check social media channels before setting off to your game. There's some important matches, though, this weekend. I mentioned that gap between Atherton Coles in mid-table land and the relegation places. Atherton Coles this weekend will be taking on Liversidge. At the same time, Belper Town will be hosting Nantwich Town. Two mammoth games there, Berkey. Just a quick prediction.
Atherton, your default positions, it's going to be a draw, isn't it? They're really, really well-organised outfit. I was dead impressed with them on Saturday when they came to Unifields and came away with a draw despite being down to 10 men for the best part of an hour. Brad Cook said it was the most proud he's ever been of his side at that point, which goes somewhere to show how much of the cosh they were under through that game, but they were resolute. But they are set up perfectly to play away from home, as are Liversidge. So they're kind of going to balance each other out of this. It's like putting a slice of buttered toast on the back of the cat. Will it land on its feet or will it spin around? I can't say the word. It was going to be a really good point.
Berke, it's a nonsense analogy anyway, because a piece of toast doesn't have legs.
But if you bought, but it always lands butter side down, doesn't it? Oh, it's jam side down. That was
awfully Vic and Bob, hasn't it? Right.
Draw.
Draw. Draw. Belper Town v Nantwich, quickly. Who wants to predict this one?
Nantwich, they've got a great addition there in Adam Dawson. He'll be flying down the flanks. And yeah, I think Nantwich have just got enough to sneak past Belper.
Paul, you could be peacemaker here because FC United taking on Hyde United. Me and Berkey will be separated by one of those weird netting things that they often put up. And Luke, of course. What do you think for this one?
I think it'll be a very good footballing game, and I'm going to say, same as it was Whitby and FC, 2-2.
Guys against South Shields, I can't go to James for any of these because he's just going to say draw, isn't he? But James, I mean, this game here, without doing a prediction, this game here, Guys against South Shields, this is one of those games where Kevin Phillips and South Shields will go, this is where we could slip up, because Geisler at Nevermore, Paul Phillips in charge, in form, this is one of those games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And guys' form's starting to creep up. South Shields, again, he's just watching the back line a little bit at this moment. I am going to go for a draw on this one, but it's going to be a high goal scoring draw, I think.
We touched upon this fixture earlier. Marine against Bamber Bridge, Paul. Wow. A win for Bamber Bridge would be very, very impressive. A win for Marine, and they're back towards the playoffs again, which would be good for them, I'm going to suggest. So a must-win game for both teams. Almost not get beat, certainly.
It certainly is. And it's probably another game where I'm going to get split and sitting on the fence and do a teagot and say probably a draw.
And Morpeth, you know, 1 point above Nantwich Town, above the relegation places. They have got a game in hand. Morpeth this weekend, though, taking on Gainsborough Trinity. We all know how good Gainsborough's form is. They did get beat away from home to Hyde United in December, but it's also a long trip for Gainsborough too. So who knows? Do you know, Paul?
No, I don't. No, to be fair, I mean, it's obviously always going to be a tough trip going to Morpeth. And to be fair, their fans are definitely behind their team up at Morpeth. But for me, I just think Gainsborough will have that little bit extra quality on the afternoon. So I would go with probably a 1-2 Gainsborough win.
Agreed.
Berkey, Stafford Rangers against Matlock Town. It's not quite winner stays on or anything like that at this point, but it's the same as what we said with Marine and Bamber Bridge. But certainly about Stafford Rangers staying in touch as much as they can with that playoff line. It's a very, very important game for them this weekend.
Yeah, and Matlock not showing too much ambition when they go on the travels. Only won 4 out of the 11 games on the road this season. But I think this is a game, I don't know. I'm going to be getting splinters now, and I'm going to say a draw.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, a draw.
Stalybridge Bridge Celtic against Radcliffe.
This is where Radcliffe have got to prove themselves a little bit now. Mm. One of them grounds that they've not really had a result at recently. I think it is a Radcliffe win on this one.
The Warrington Derby as well, that's taking place. I mean, we mentioned it earlier, but that's game of the weekend, isn't it? I think we could all agree with that.
Six all draw.
Good stuff. And finally, live on Whitby Town Radio, Whitby Town taking on Ashton United at the Turnbull. Paul, a quick plug for Whitby Town Radio before you go, and also what's your hopes and expectations for this weekend?
Quick plug for Whitby Town Radio. Enjoy our general sarcasm every week. But yeah, I'm not in the habit of predicting Whitby matches. I'm hoping that, obviously, as you know, we come away with 3 points. It's going to be a very difficult game. You know, Ashton have made a number of very good signings. Sean Newton being the one today. He's coming as player's assistant manager. But at the end of the day, Whitby's home form is letting them down at the moment, and Ashton are on a high. So I'm just hoping that everything just plays out in the complete opposite way that I'm expecting it to.
well, on that note,
Sean Newton's an incredible signing, isn't he? Yeah. I've got to go. I'm going Ashton win. I've got to.
Well, on that note, that's the end of the Pitching In NPL show for this month. A big thank you to Mr. Ian Burt for 26-0.
Top stuff. Cheers, Ben.
Big thank you to Paul Connolly from Whitby Town Radio.
Cheers, lads.
Big thank you to James Hayes, social media officer from the league.
No worries, Ben.
And a big thank you to Steve Cunningham, Curtis Woodhouse and Rob Hughes, of course. But from everyone here at the Pitching In NPL show, you have a lovely weekend and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. Bye-bye.